going to start out by looking at John 10:10, and that's what the scripture, that's what the message is based on today, is John 10:10. And you can, you know, the scriptures I share with you today, you're going to say, yep, yep, amen, 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 because they're good scriptures. But you know what? You've heard these same scriptures. If you've been here, as long as you've been here, you've heard these same scriptures. But what's the condition of your life? Because for the most part, we don't actually believe the Word of God. Because if we actually believe the Word of God, we would be acting on the Word of God. If we act on the Word of God, our lives will improve. And this is not condemnation. This is not judgment. I am not saying, yeah, you've got to get your act together and be like me. No, I screw up as much as you do. But you know what? Your life isn't any worse than my life. You know what? Wayne and I deal with stuff every single day. Physical things, mental things, spiritual things, every single day. We have a business, the church. We have a business that I have to figure out how to get this business to grow. Amen. I have a husband who has physical issues and we're dealing with it. And we face new symptoms and new things every week. Don't tell me you can't get a hold of the Word of God and believe it. Don't tell me you can't come against whatever you're dealing with in your life. That is a bunch of crap. Amen. And until we start getting, yes, I believe the Word of God. And it's not just, yes, I believe the Word. I'm actually going to do something about it. Amen. I'm actually going to make a list of those things. I'm actually going to have a heart of gratitude. I'm actually going to drink 8 glasses of water. I'm actually going to do something about those steps to a prosperous life. Because you know what? I actually believe that God cares about me. I actually believe that God loves me and He wants a better life for me. I actually believe that. But for the most part, you know, the atmosphere in here this morning was, there's no expectation in this place. There may be a little more now, but there wasn't. It's like, this is what we do, you know. Weather's miserable, you know, at least it's raining and not snowing. You know, there was icy and yeah. We're not going to go anywhere. We keep that attitude. You want better services? Well, they come to church expecting. Do something during the week. Actually connect with God during the week. You know, that's what our vision is about, is to people have a congregation who actually lives and experiences and communes and has a relationship with God 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, not when it's convenient, not when I need something, not when I come to church. And if you're that kind of person and you're just satisfied to come to church on Sunday and do your Christian duty, you're set up for a miserable life. Because, once again, the condition of America. Because that's what you're going to experience. The condition of America. But you know what? We don't have to. We do not have to be in that negative crap. Our lives can be victorious and glorious. And we can be testimonies to the people around us of the goodness of God. You want more people to come to the church? Start acting like who you are. You'll draw people to you. Anybody that has done it, you know, Kathy was just talking a few weeks ago about a people coming up to her that never come up to her. How could that happen? Because God. Amen. Amen. It makes the world a difference. Yeah. But what are we going to do individually? What are we going to do individually? Okay, let's go look at the word. John 10:10. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. You know, as I was a kid, I'm probably early teens, we had a pastor whose name was Pastor Kipe. And when you're, you know, in that age group, you really don't pay attention to the messages. You know, you think I'm boring. Well, you know, regular church can be really boring. And so, but you know what? I remember this scripture, him using. And nobody had a clue what he was talking about. I don't even know if he had a clue what he was talking about. But that's something I remember from him teaching, is this scripture. So, this scripture means something to me just because of that. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. A lot of the times we focus on the first half. Do you know, if you focus on the second half, the first half really doesn't affect you. But if you focus on the first half, which a lot of the church does, you know, I get so frustrated. I was just listening to a CD and was yelling at the CD, and Wayne says, well, yeah, you know, he wasn't happy with me yelling at the CD. But the focus on, you know, Satan. I understand Satan is there. I understand he's at the root of all evil. I understand he can cause problems. I understand, he's the source of everything bad. But I have chosen, I am not going to focus on Satan. I am going to focus on the answer. Because the more I focus on the answer, then the less of a problem he is. But if you focus on him, and okay, this went wrong. You know, that's what this guy was just saying. You know, Satan takes you, you remember these messages. You know, Satan takes your money, and Satan takes this, and Satan takes that. So what do we have to do? We have to come against Satan. Did it work? If you're honest, did it work? So I'm not doing it anymore. I have found something that works, and that's what I'm going to stick with. And what works is focusing on the answer. Every single time, doesn't matter what you're dealing with, no matter what it looks like, force yourself to focus on the answer, and then you have life. So we're going to focus, this message is focusing on the second half of this scripture. I am come that they may have life and that they might have it more abundantly. That word life is what? For all of you that have been around a while, what is that life? What is Zoe. Zoe means what? God kind of life. Now, I can pretty much guarantee we're different places, but I can pretty much guarantee that absolutely none of us are experiencing the God kind of life. I mean, what kind of life does God have? God has a pretty phenomenal life, wouldn't you think? I mean, he has no problems. He has no sickness. You know, it's not like he's up there and thinking, oh, dear Lord, what am I going to do about Trump? What am I going to do about America? Oh, man, you know, what am I going to do about those Christians? What am I going to do? Jesus, what in the world are we going to do? Where is the money going to come from to get this taken care of? How in the world are we going to handle this? That's just stupid. You know that. That's the church. Most of the church is focused on, if I went through and asked you every single one here this morning, I could pretty much guarantee that you were focusing on one negative thing, something negative this morning. I'm not going to do it because I would have to admit it too. But that's what we do. Our focus is automatically on the negative. But this is what the Word of God says. I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. That word abundantly, over above, super abundance. Yes, 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 that sounds so good. That sounds so good. The thing is, it's all in our head. We don't do anything about it to bring it to our heart so we can actually experiencing it. Are we actually going to believe that the Word of God is true, or are we going to continue? Yes, 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 that's great, and we leave here and why aren't you doing the steps to a prosperous life? Because you don't believe they'll make any difference in your life. Guarantee it. If you believe something's going to change your life, you do something about it. Yeah. Right, Jamie? Where's Jamie? She's not in here? There she is. Jamie's in the process of doing a very extreme diet approach to eating right now. And why is she doing it? Simply because she decided to. Whatever you have done, whatever you are doing, you're doing it because you decided to. Not because anybody made you. Or if you did it, if somebody made you do something, I can guarantee it's very temporary. You can't make your spouse do anything. How many of you have tried it? Yeah. Tell him over and over. I told him for years, drink more water, drink more water. Years. And then finally he got to the point with, this makes a difference. That's a good idea. And I know the rest of you are just the same, and it's not just males, it's males and females. We don't do anything about it until we believe. Okay, I have some quotes. I've referred to this book before, the book by Wallace Wattles. I have no idea if this guy is born again or not. You know, he wrote this book back in, probably early 20th century, just by some of the things he refers to. And I've used a quote from him before. But he has a chapter on life. And he just has some phenomenal quotes. And it's those things that I've never heard taught in church like this, but it's the Word of God. So I'm going to read you some of his quotes and see if this can help you think in a more practical way of what God is talking about here. He says, a seed dropped into the ground springs into activity, and in the act of living produces 100 more seeds. Life by living multiplies itself. It is forever becoming more. It must do so if it continues to be at all. Life by living multiplies itself. What is your life about? I'm not asking for a show of hands, but is your life about multiplication? You know, what do we teach in the church? You know, God wants you poor. No, you know, you can't have anything. You know, don't, you know, you can't be wealthy. You can't, you know, you can't do this. You can't do that because God, you know, he is, and he's sovereign, and he decides this, and you can't. But the word of God says, I have come that you might have life and you might have it more abundantly. Who are we going to listen to? Who are you going to call? God. The God squad. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Intelligence is under the same necessity for continuous increase. Every thought we think makes it necessary for us to think another thought. Every fact we learn draws us to another fact. God has designed life to keep expanding and keep wanting more and keep growing. What I said last week, talked about the galaxies, they keep expanding from the very beginning. God is a creator. We're creator. We're made in his image. We are made creative. We are creators. But what do we do? No, I'm too old. I don't have enough education. I don't have any money. I don't have a good job. I don't have this. I don't have that. But God has come that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. Who are you going to listen to? Another one. God wants to live all that is possible in you and wants you to have all that you can or will use for the living of the most abundant life. I never heard a statement like that in church. Even the faith teachers I heard, it's so many, you keep giving. You just give and you'll prosper. You give and you'll prosper. Been there, done that. Did it work? No. There's more to it. Yes, there's a truth in giving, and we'll talk about that. Yes, we're supposed to be givers. Yes, there's a whole ton of reasons why. But there's more to it than that. What's in your heart? If God tells you to give something and you give it and you're believing God's going to bless you because you gave that, that's in your heart. So yes, it's going to work. Amen. Stepping on some toes this morning. But as I said, if I offend you, I apologize ahead of time. Another one. How many of you heard this one? Is Caden in here? Dylan's in here? Oh, Caden's probably in class. Okay, listen to this one. And this is because of something that Caden and I have had a conversation about. God wants those who can play music to have pianos and every other instrument and to have the means to cultivate their talents to the fullest extent. He wants those who can appreciate beauty to be able to surround themselves with beautiful things. He wants those who can discern truth to have every opportunity to travel and observe. He wants those who can appreciate dress to be beautifully clothed. Amen. Let's see. And those who can appreciate good food to be luxuriously fed. He wants all these things because it is himself that enjoys and appreciates them. It is God who wants to play and sing and enjoy beauty and proclaim truth and wear fine clothes and eat good foods. It is God that worketh in you to will and to do, said Paul. And Paul wrote that in Philippians 2:13. As I said, as far as I know, this guy uses a lot of scripture in truth in his book, but there's no evidence that he's a Christian at all. And this was written, you know, I don't know how many years ago. He must have been a heretic, you know, when he wrote this. It's so contrary. I mean, it's contrary to what the church is now, but back then it's really contrary. So what does the Word of God say? Proverbs chapter 10, verse 22. The blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. The blessing and rich, it's talking about finances. It's talking about, you know, natural, you know, physical, financial blessings. God wants you rich. Why? Because you can do a whole lot more to expand the kingdom of God, to be a testimony to those around you, than if you're poor. So God wants you rich. Now we'll talk about, you know, there's not just, you know, even he talks about in his book, you know, it's, I'm getting ahead of myself. We'll hold it there. Okay. And he adds no sorrow with it. You know what that word sorrow was? You know what? I looked it up. I've never looked it up before. I've never heard anybody say this. That word sorrow is heavy and toilsome labor. So God wants you wealthy, and you don't have to ruin your life to get there. You don't have to work 60 hours a week to get there.
God wants you wealthy. But the first, you have to believe it, because as you believe it, then you will have the ideas, the creative ideas. Then you will have the business. Then you will have the new job. Then you will have things, you know, whatever it takes to move you in that direction. But you have to start at the beginning. I believe God wants me wealthy. Just because you want to be wealthy does not make you, you know, that's not sin. It goes along with life. You know, and when I read this, I have read this book now several times, and as is generally my practice for a good book. And it's just every time, you know, it gets in me more and more. You know what? That's just garbage that, you know, some God wants some people blessed and other people, you know, this, but the poor, the word says the poor will always be with you. But he does not say that I have to be one of the poor. Amen. Amen. Doesn't say you have to be one of the poor. And he can take anybody at any time of their life, in any situation, and as we tap in and believe and experience what God has said, we can prosper financially. We can prosper spirit, soul, and body. Amen. That's God's will. Amen. What are you going to believe? Who are you going to call? 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. You've been here very long. You've heard this scripture so many times because I've taught on it. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may have an abundance for every good work. Abundance. God wants you to have more, not just enough, more than enough. And you know what? Notice here in this verse, he says he gives you something. What's the helper that he gives you in this verse? He just doesn't say it's going to happen. What he gives you a helper to make sure it happens. Yeah, but that's not what it says here. There's a word. Look at the scripture. What? Grace. What is grace? God's ability in us to do what we can't do on our own. So it's not just that God says, yes, I want you to be abundant. I am giving you grace. I am giving you my ability to bring it to pass. You know, I don't know how to do it. Well, I tap into my grace because I know how to do it. I know how to make you wealthy. I know how to bless you. I know how to make you healthy. I know how to improve your life. Tap into the grace. Tap into me. Who are you going to call? What's your focus going to be? Another one. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. You know, this is another one of those scriptures. Oh, that sounds so good. Amen, amen. That sounds so good, so good. Does any of us experience it? No, because we don't actually do something about it to actually get to the point where we actually believe it, and then we act on what we believe, and then we actually start seeing exceedingly abundantly things in our life. What are you going to believe? Are you going to depend? Are you going to go through life depending on yourself? That is a very sad state to live in. Amen. Until you actually turn your life over to God and you actually submit to him, to his will, to his word, to his ways, to whatever he is and whoever he is, until that happens, you will be miserable. Simply because you're a child of God, and if you're a child of God who doesn't do things God's way, you are miserable because you know this. You know at some level, you know deep in your spirit that life is supposed to be better than this. Life is supposed to be better than this. This is not supposed to be happening. You know, I know when Wayne was in the hospital, and you know that first week when things were looking so bad, and I had that conversation to God. This is not supposed to happen. Amen. This is not. And it looked like it was over. It looked like it was over. You know, I signed a DNR. It looked like the doctor said it's over. That's basically what they told me. It was just a matter of time. But as I told you before, the reason Wayne is alive is because what got into him before he got sick. And that's the difference. If it's not in you and you go through something like that, unless you have someone who God has called to bring you through it, it's probably not going to turn out well. And yet we say, oh, they were a wonderful Christian. How could that happen? How could that happen? If you guys know. You have been taught for the last several years. You have been taught. You know what to do. If you know what to do and you don't do anything about it, God has nothing to do with it. Satan doesn't have anything to do with it. It's just you made a decision and you get to reap the consequences of your decisions. You know, I was just reading, what book am I in? I think Samuel, maybe. Second Samuel? I think maybe Second Samuel. And it talks about David. You know, David, there was, David's king again, and there's 3 years of famine. And David goes to God and says, you know, why? And I understand this is Old Testament, it's different rules, for lack of a better way of saying it. So he says to God, what happened? And God says, it's because of what Saul did to the Gibeonites. You are reaping the consequences. So you know what? You may be reaping the consequences of something your parents did. You know, because we're going to read a scripture in a little bit that talks about that. But you may be reaping the consequences of what your parents did. Do you have to live there? No. You know, if there's a disease that runs in your family, we've talked about this. I'm not of the same family. You know, you don't have to stay there. You do not have to suffer. But there is things you're going to have to do to get out of it. You know, this life that we're talking about, it's just not an automatic thing. It is God's will. You're a child of God. It is God. It is a guaranteed thing. But it doesn't mean we're going to experience it until we do what we're supposed to be doing. It's not that God doesn't love you less, and it's not that Satan's out. You know, no, it's just, what are we deciding? What are we going to do about it? Who are you going to call? Where's your focus? Okay, another one. 2 Peter, chapter 1, verse 3. As his divine, yeah. Oh, sorry, I forgot to say something about the Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 verse. If you're still there. He gives us another helper in verse 20. What does he say? What's our helper in verse 20? We had grace in the first scripture. What's the helper in this one? Power. The dunamis power of God. The miracle working power of God. The creative power of God. He is giving to us so that we can live an abundant life. It's not up to you. You just have to cooperate. And not do it your way. Do it his way. Okay, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. Okay, what's he give us for a helper this time? The power is in here again. But he says, I've given to us all things. Anything you could need to accomplish anything in your life, he has given it to you. To produce life, and not just produce life, but godliness. You do not, you know, I've read another book I'm reading. I forget the title. Once again, it's one, Witness Lee. Anybody ever read anything by Watchman Nee or Witness Lee? It's phenomenal stuff. Okay, but it's old stuff. So this is my dad's book, and I just came across it, and so started reading it. And he's talking back then. He was taught this in the early 60s. And he taught this, you know, don't try to be good. Do not try to be good. What is it? To Christians, don't try to be good. What do you want to do? Experience Jesus. Abide in Christ. Because as we abide in him, we're automatically good. We automatically walk in love. We automatically produce the fruit of the Spirit. It's an automatic thing as we walk in who we are. Instead of, I've got to do this. I've got to, I can't stay that. I've got to, I've got to, I've got to, I've got to, I've got to. Or I should. You know, years ago, someone came to church here, and that was everything that came out of her mouth. I should do this. I need to do this. I should, you know. You don't, that's the wrong way to live. No. But as we focus on who we are, as we focus on who he is, it just is an automatic thing. That's what my yoke is easy. My burden is light. Life stops being hard. We don't have those, you know, 12 plates going in the air that we have to go and keep those plates going. Life gets easy. And I know something else that, you know, Wendy and I had this conversation, and I believe it's a God thing. But with everything that's happened in the past few months, you know, I am at the point now where focusing on what I can accomplish now. Because it just, every time I plan, my day goes, you know, forget it. You know, it just gets shot to smithereens, you know. But when I have learned I have more at peace, I am accomplishing more, when I focus on what am I supposed to do right here? Focus in the present. And I think it's a God thing because what? God is now. Not in the future, not in the past, now. Okay. So, with what I shared with you, what kind of life does this mean is available to us? Throw me out something. What's available to us? Peace. Good food. Prosperity. Strength. Joy. Wisdom. Good relationships. Health. Abundance. Whatever we need. Whatever we want. Creative ideas. Yes, we are supposed to be the solution. What'd you say? Destiny. And I'm sure that's just what's coming off the top of our head. I'm sure there's a whole lot more. So my next question is, what would your life be like if you believe this and we're experiencing it? You don't have to answer me, but think about it a minute. What would your life be like? Personally, you have to personalize it. That's it. Your homework assignment, this is why you're doing this homework assignment. Because once again, you can't get anywhere till you know where you are, till you're honest with yourself and say, this is where I am. This part of my life stinks. And God says, you know, it's supposed to be better than this, but it stinks. But until you get that point, until you get that down on paper, until you actually see, yes, this is what I actually feel, this is what I actually believe, this is actually how I look at it, you're not going to go anywhere. You're not going to move forward. Because, you know, it's all up there. And it's just, you know, in the middle of the night, 3:00 in the morning, you wake up and all of a sudden you're thinking about this stuff that you haven't thought about in 5 years and all the problems and why this and this and this. And you think about your kids and what, you know, with this and you think about your grandchildren and this and, you know, and you go, you know, what do? You get in this downward spiral. So that's why you do this homework. Get it out there in front of you so then actually you can use these scriptures. Because if you don't actually get down to the nitty-gritty in step 1, 2, 3 and actually, you know, see it yourself and take it to God and discuss it with Him and, you know, whatever, you're not going to go anywhere. Yeah. And it works. Yeah. It sounds like I don't believe that works. Well, it does. If you want to be here next year in the same condition you are now or worse, then don't do any of these steps to a prosperous life. Just do your own thing. But you will be miserable. I speak from experience. I had years of being miserable. I was not happy for, probably 25 years. I was not happy. And I was serving God. And I was doing everything that I was supposed to be doing. But I was not happy. Until I started doing these kind of things that I'm telling you about. Because you do something, and then God opens the door. And there is no, you know, everybody goes, it's not a linear thing. It's, you know, it's, everybody's going to be different. But you got to do something about it. So it takes us to the next step. So, you know, thinking about this for me, I will reveal some of my secrets to you. What would your life be like if you believed and experienced this? I would have the farm that I am on would be prosperous. I can see it. My house is finished. It's all paid for. We have the equipment we need. We have the buildings we need. We have the animals that we want. The gardens are designed. It's all paid for. That's part of who my life is. You know, this church is out of debt. You know, it's we have at least 300 people. It's a prosperous, growing, generous, faithful, you know, just congregation full of life. You know, Wayne is healed. Shell is healed. Wayne's walking. You know, you. But what's your life? What would it be like? Take the time to actually think about it. Get your hope back. I had one for, you know, probably a couple years. I had no hope. Deferred makes the heart sick. I was sick. I had no hope. You can be in church. You can be doing all the right things and get to a point where you are hopeless. Because you're not actually applying the word of God. It's all head stuff. Well, you try this and it didn't work. You know, we tithed for years and nothing seemed to happen. You know, you do all this stuff and it just... But God, Christ came that we would have life and have it more abundantly. God wants you blessed. If you're blessed, then the world around you is blessed. Amen. It's not, you know, okay, and it's not about stuff. You know, it used to be the teaching was all about get stuff, get a car, get more stuff. I don't want stuff. You know, I would guess most of you, you know, you want your life simplified. You don't want stuff. But there are things that mean something to you that would make life wonderful. I'm here to tell you that in God, unless God tells you no, you need to get a hold of that dream again. Amen. You need to stir it up. Amen. And allow God to work in you. Do what he wants to do. Okay. What do I need to do? And this is going to be not a complete thing, but it's a place for you to start, okay? Number one, make a decision. Deuteronomy 30:19. I absolutely love this scripture. This is a scripture I've hung on to for years. We get the Zoe Center done. This scripture will be on the wall. I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live. Amen. Choose life. Actually, choose life. Choose the Zoe life of God. It's totally up to you. It does not say, okay, you can have a good life, but no, sorry, you got to suffer. I'll give you health, but no, you got to be sick. No, this is for you. No, there is no... The only restrictions there are is what are you going to choose? Amen. And what you choose is, you know, this is the step one, is choosing, but then there's more steps along with it. But that's step one. Jess?
My daily devotions during this week, I came across something in Matthew that I never really... had seen it this way before, and read it the way it's supposed to be read, and saw something, and it goes along with what Diane's saying in terms of us doing what God's calling us to do and being the people that he's called us to be and using what he has in us. Because it says here, and Jesus said this, it was in red, it says, I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and recline at the table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom, doesn't say sinners, it doesn't say those that are rejecting him. It says the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into the outer darkness. In the place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I've always saw it as it was all the bad people that weren't going to heaven and whatnot that were going to be, but that's not what this says. It says the sons of the kingdom will be cast out. So if we're not walking and doing what she's saying, it doesn't guarantee you here that you're going to be sitting at the table in the end. That really hit me like, whoa, what she's saying and what we need to do and who you're going to focus on, who you're going to listen to, that means huge. It's not just some little thing.
Praise God. Step number two, puts forth effort. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called, and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Now, I know we generally look at this as, you know, as it being a salvation thing. Well, salvation, this is what we're talking about. Salvation is life. Amen. You're tapping into the life of God. You're tapping into life as God has it. But it says here, lay hold on it. It's effort. You know, it's effort when, you know, I'm too tired to read the Bible. You know, I don't have time to you know, do whatever. I can't do this. I don't know how to do that. There's in front of you, in front of me, at every moment of the day, there is a decision. I am going to focus in God, or I'm going to focus away from God. And we're making those decisions all the time. It takes effort to focus in the right direction. When you're in pain, it takes effort to focus on that I am the healed. When your checkbook is in the red, it takes effort to focus on, no, God has supplied all my needs. You know, I just listened to a CD this week, and I don't think I ever heard anybody say this, but you know, Philippians 4:13, what does it say? It says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. As much as I've taught on that stuff, you know, do you realize that that's financial? That is a financial scripture. If you look at it in context, it is in the middle of financial things that Paul is talking about. So I can do all things through Christ. I can get myself out of debt through Christ. I don't have to figure it out myself. I don't have to figure out, what am I going to do? I can't tithe. I can't give offerings because I don't have enough money. You know what? If you're not a tither or giver of offerings, you do not believe the word that I am speaking to you today. You do not believe it. Don't lie to yourself and make up some excuse. Well, tithing is for the Old Testament, yada, 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 whatever. You don't believe this message today if you are not a giver. You're just learning about the Word of God, and you're just learning about giving. But when you know it, and for whatever reason, you make a decision to not give, as I said, there's no judgment, there's no condemnation. I've been at this too long. We have never singled out people who were great givers, and we have never put pressure on people who did not give. We've never done it. So, you know, it's between you and God, and there's, you know, there's no nothing from. I'm just making you aware, because how's the church going to grow if the congregation doesn't believe the Word of God? Okay, what's our next one here? Got another quote. Every living thing is under this necessity for continuous advancement. Where increase of life ceases, disillusion and death set in at once. What did we just read? Choose life. You got life or death. There is no middle ground. There is no, I'm just treading water. There is no, you know, I'll do it next week. You know, it's like me. I'll start walking next week. There's, you know, it's too much ice. It's too cold. I'll start walking next week. There's none of that. God doesn't make those allowances. It's the same as true no matter what your situation is. The word is still true no matter what you're going through. Whether you're going through a really bad time, a really hard time, or whether life is really easy, it's still the same rules. God still expects the same thing no matter what, because he has given us everything we need to pertains to life and godliness. Everything, situation is taken care of through him. Proverbs 18:9 in the Amplified, it says, he who is loose and slack in his work is brother to him who is a destroyer, and he who does not use his endeavors to heal himself is brother to him who commits suicide. We're either going one way or the other. With our every decision we make, every thought we think, we're either moving towards life or we're moving towards death. And you are in total control of your thoughts. You are in total control of your decisions. Now, you may say, well, I had to do this. No, we don't have to do anything. Amen. We just look at the consequences of making a decision, and we decide whether we're going to make that decision or not. And that's why we say we have to do something, but we don't have to do anything. Told you I'd step on your toes today. Sorry if I offend you. And the word tells us in 2 Corinthians 4:17-18, he says, looking at the unseen, not the seen. And one of the things he even says in the book, and as I said, I don't know if he's a Christian or not, but he says it's one of the hardest things to do. And you could sit here today and you could say the same thing. When things look horrible, It's very hard to remind yourself, no, God is good. No, God loves me. No, my needs are supplied. No, God wants to, I am blessed. I am loved. It can be very, very hard. It's one of the reasons why we get on you to get in the Word every day. Because if you hit one of those situations and you've been in the Word every day, the Holy Spirit has something to bring back to your remembrance and remind you. No, Jesus bore your sicknesses and carried your diseases. No, by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. I don't have to be sick. I don't have to be poor. I don't have to be in lack. I don't have to feel alone. Because God never leaves me nor forsakes me. But it's up to you. Every thought, every decision. And the more thoughts that you start thinking, the more decisions you start making that go along with life instead of death, the easier it gets. Now, you still will face things, you know. It's like a up and down. You know, you have some really good times, and I've had this discussion with various people who have been through this, and there's times, you know, it's so good, and then you hit that wall, and you think, good Lord, what happened here? My life isn't supposed to be like this. This is going wrong, and this is going wrong. And, you know, you go outside, and you have a flat tire on your car that's a year old. And you go out, and you start your car, and the car won't start because the battery's dead on a car that's a year old. And, you know, it's... But God. And focusing yourself back. But God. Thank you, Lord, it happened in front of the house. Thank you, Lord, we have AAA. Thank you, Lord, you know, I have a son I can call. Thank you, Lord, you know, what's your focus going to be? We all make those decisions 24 hours a day, 7 to every minute. We're making the decisions. We're choosing the thoughts that we're thinking. You can change a thought. Well, you know, what do they say with AA? You know, one drink at a time. Turn down one drink at a time. One hour at a time. 1 minute at a time. It's the same thing with this. If you've got to turn your life totally around and change the way you're thinking, it's going to be one thought at a time. Don't look at, you know, it's hopeless. I can't. Yes, you can. What's right in front of you right now? When you walk out of this building, you will have a choice. There will be a thought that comes into you contrary to everything that I taught here this morning. Your choice will be, what am I going to focus on? What am I going to think about? And it's all the same. It's the same for all of us. And in some ways it gets easier, but in other ways then you get, you know, you can get things thrown at you like, you know, we've been through in the past few months. How did this happen? Well, we could look and talk about why it happened and everything, but let's just focus on the answer and get, you know, move on. Okay, number three, last one. Do it God's way. Duh. It is essential that your purpose harmonizes with God's purpose. And there's, you know, a whole lot more I could talk about with this, but I'm just going to give you some simple things. I would encourage you to make a note of these if you have something to write with. Your motive must be love. You know, if you want life the way God has it, it's not just, oh, this is what I want and it's going to be all better. No, there's things that you have to do. And it's not a works thing, but there's things you have to do. If you want, you know, this, like I think I talked about last week, if you want your car to start, you have to turn the key. You have to take it out of park. You have to put your foot on the accelerator. There's things you have to do. It's the same thing in this. Do it God's way. Your motive must be love. Our memory verse this next month, Mark chapter 12, verse 30 to 31. Life should be lived in such a way that when you get what you want, everyone else will have more than he has now. Be creative, not competitive. You know, it's a quote from the book. And he's talking about, you know, don't look at what is here, what is available, is all there is. We serve the Creator. If he has to create more, he can. You know, if the galaxies keep expanding, you know, if we, like, he's giving the example, if more gold needs to be, you know, found, more gold will be found. Whatever. You know, don't be discouraged that, you know, and think that, you know, that you're, by the time you get to build your house, you know, your building lot will be gone. You know, you won't be able to, this is what he's talking about in the book. You know, don't be discouraged that, you know, when by the time you get somewhere, it won't be there anymore. No. Be creative. Be open to who you are in Christ. You are creative. God will make a way. I can tell you from experience, God will make a way where there is no way. He's done it with us over and over again. But what is your focus? Where are you going to focus? Living by faith. Hebrews 11:6 tells us what? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. You can't do it God's way without being in faith. We live by faith, and we are all living by faith. I've talked this before. We're all believing in something. It's just, are we going to be believing God's way of doing it, or are we just going to, you know, whatever? Living by faith. Another one is be grateful. Psalm 100, verse 4, that says, you know, what the verse is from, this is our step one, be grateful. You know, as I was talking about, you know, with the car, you know, the battery dying and stuff, you know, I had a choice, you know, I had a choice to be frustrated, to be angry, you know, to, you know, whatever. Or I have a choice. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, it happened in the driveway. Thank you, Lord. You know, thank you, Lord, for this. Thank you, Lord, for that. We have to have a continuous attitude of gratitude. Amen. You know, if you say, you know, because, you know, you talk about, you know, well, you know, there's the scriptures about the rich. You know, you don't want to be rich, yada, yada, yada. It's different being wealthy God's way and being my way. And to do it God's way, that's what we're talking about here. Motivated by love. Living by faith, being grateful, and generosity. Proverbs chapter 11, 25, and I don't have it written down. In the New King James, it says, it's in that portion of Scripture where be watered himself, be generous. The generous will be, I don't know if it's blessed or what, he that waters will be watered himself. In other words, generosity will produce prosperity in you. Generosity will bring prosperity to you. So there is giving, there is a portion, you know, there is part of giving. Because giving, one of the things that giving says is, I believe God. One of the things that giving says, no matter what in the situation, one of the things giving says is there's more where this came from. I don't need to hoard, because there's always more. Because God. Amen? Praise you, Jesus.